is needed. We don't need to keep everything in mind from the beginning to the end. But if the Lord speaks in your heart, keep it and take it back home and bring it personally to the Lord. This is important. The Lord needs our heart. And in these days, the Lord wants to touch our hearts, cleanse them, purify them, and touch them. First of all, I'd like to read these three verses here, Revelation 22. This is our main passage here in this conference. Here in Bonn, we will read verse 3. Revelation 22, verse 3. And then, next, my proposition would be 1 Peter 2, verse 5, the saints in Karlsruhe, because they are also gathered together in the as the church. And then Hebrews 12, 28, from read by the saints in Stuttgart. And there shall be no longer any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his slaves shall serve him. Revelation 22:3. Now the church in Karlsruhe. We'll see if they have heard us. Olaf, one question. Can you hear me? Maybe you have... Well, if you can read it, not very well. It's 1 Peter 2, verse 5. I'll just tell you. You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You yourselves also are being built up as living stones into a holy priesthood, a spiritual house. We are living stones for a spiritual house. We are offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then again, Hebrews 12:28, read by the saints in Stuttgart. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace through which we may serve God well-pleasingly with godly fear and awe. Let us have grace through which we may serve God well-pleasingly with godly fear and awe. Yes, in today's meeting and fellowship, I would like to speak about serving and have fellowship with you about that, to serve God in a well-pleasing way as priests. May the Lord really show us more. My wish is to see more what the Lord wants to gain as a service in us. Let me start with Revelation 22, verse 3. There we have the throne of God and of the Lamb. And as came out already, the first thing that you see there is the river of water of life. Life is flowing out of the throne. And on both sides of the river, there is one river, one tree of life, but it's on both sides, one tree of life. And this type shows, or this picture shows, that God's life is for each to be eaten and drinken. And then again, we see the throne of God again. And there we see God's slaves that serve him. The river of water of life flows. There is the life supply. And then there is the service in the face of God. And this is a picture also for now and for the future, for eternity future. And although this is something that refers to the future, there is something of it reality already in our lives. God has released his life and dispensed it, and it's flowing to us. And we can take it, we can eat it and drink it. And this life has an effect. The fact is to wish to serve God again. Each Christian has the wish to be available to God, to be for God, to give himself to God. Unfortunately, in our history, among brothers and sisters, through all the development that we went through, and also all Christians, Christianity went through, many things got twisted, so that many think that not everybody is able to serve God. Not everybody is qualified. So first of all, I want to tell you, each one is qualified and called to serve God. What is qualifying us? That we have received his spirit. This is it's a normal reaction in our spirit, in our hearts. Lord, I want to serve you no matter how old you are, whether you're going to school or whether you're even living in an old people's home. It's normal in us. Lord, I want to be for you. That's just normal. And each one should have the room also to do it. So everything or many things got twisted and corrupted, but God wants to restore that. And for that, the church life is there. We have the church life and we are in it, right? This serving here, his slaves are serving him. His slaves shall serve him. Could you please give me that glass of water? His slaves will serve him. I think it is really crucial that this word serving in the Greek language, there are three different expressions for it, to serve God. You've not learned Greek in school, but maybe it's not bad to know that, what I'm saying right now. There are three different expressions for serving. They all describe a kind of service. And all these forms of service are important. If I explain it to you, that does not mean that I'm judging it. It's just an explanation and a description just for us to be aware what it means. So that our service may be strengthened through that. One word describes the service of slaves. And here it's written, slaves. We are slaves, right? This is one aspect. God bought us. It's an important aspect. You were bought. God bought you because Jesus shed your blood for you. So he paid a price for you. He shed your blood, his blood for you to buy you. What for? And this is not that well known among Christians. First of all, to belong to God. This Christian may know. You belong to God now. You're God's possession, right? And these slaves, when you serve as a slave, you have a task with which you were commissioned with, and you do it. God needs slaves, right? Who don't do their own will. Who do his will. Who do his commission, right? And then there is another word, that's the service of a deacon. This deacon service that is for the need and for the necessities that are there. We help each other, like among us. We take care of each other. We help each other out. The church life needs this service of a deacon. And then there is another service, that's the service of a priest, the ministry of a priest. Yeah, well, there's a problem with the technology. Olaf's voice is getting smaller and smaller, lower and lower. Partly people are not understanding well. Sometimes it's very loud. In the room, it's very loud. So, brothers and sisters here in the room, don't say so much amen, please. So, it's good. I hope to be heard well. Well, the first one, what kind of service was that? The slave, the service as a slave. Yes. We serve as slaves. Then the second one is the deacons, ministry as a deacon. And the third one is as a priest. It's a different word, to serve as priest. And God bought us as slaves with the intention also to serve him as priests. In the verse in Revelation 5, we have read it already. And in Revelation 5, it said that Jesus shed his blood in order to buy us to God so that we may be his priests. God buys us through the blood of Jesus so that we are his priests. Where do you hear that among Christians? Why was redemption accomplished? Usually people think that my sins may be forgiven and then that I may lead a good life, right? That one day I'll go to heaven, is right? But God's intention is completely different. He bought you with his blood, redeemed you so that you may serve him as a priest. Today, right now, here. Isn't that tremendous? Each one who was redeemed was called to be a priest, to serve God as a priest. And this word here in Revelation 22, it talks about slaves, yes, but it's the service here described mentioned is the priestly service, to serve him in a priestly way. So it is important to know, how do we serve priestly? Not everybody will be a deacon and does not need to be a deacon, but everyone should be a priest. Right. The Lord wants us to be priests. Lord, show us this priestly service. And this priestly service has an address, has a focus, has a direction towards a goal. And this priestly service is directly focused on God. We don't serve any circumstances, any people. We serve in front of God. We serve God. He wants to obtain something. His honor, his praise. He wants to get something. It is said, it's called his pleasure. And in the verses that we had read, and there are many more verses who say that, they stress that God wants that we serve according to his good pleasure. His good pleasure. Because it is centered on him. There is not a need or a situation as the basis, but God. God, Lord, what do you want? We want to serve God in a well-pleasing way. This is an important question. What is well-pleasing to God? How do we serve him that it's well-pleasing to him? We all have our concepts about that, right? Sometimes you may think only because it's for God, it needs to please him. Sometimes I've got the impression that we Christians, we are like that. It's a bit you tell God, Lord, I do it for you, so you need to be pleased with it. It's a question whether it's well pleasing to God. For example, someone from the children wants to give you something as a gift, you say thank you, but it doesn't really please you. Just you say thank you just because that your children may be satisfied. But when it's pleasing to you, then the children need to know your heart, need to know you. It's a matter of the relationship with you. What is pleasing to him? Not everything pleases him because it's just because it's for him. It was done for him. The first question must be, or our attitude must be, Lord, what's pleasing to you? Lord, I want to know what is pleasing to the Father. In our Christian life, this is so important. Not just pull up your sleeves and then go ahead and do it. I've seen so much already among Christians. You can do a lot of things for God, but in this priestly service, this is not important that we can do so much for God, but we want to do something for God that is well-pleasing to him. Therefore, it is important to stand before his face and to know him. We enjoy in front of him, but we are asking, Lord, what do you want from us? The priests, they are offering up sacrifices. Lord, what do you want from us? Which sacrifice do you want? God will obtain what he's after. And because this priesthood is so important for God, it's important for him that he has people that know him and that serve him as priests in a well-pleasing way. Therefore, it's really attacked, and the enemy really wants to destroy that and to prevent that. But we don't need to be afraid of the enemy. The enemy is there. The enemy is active, right? We need to know that he is there and that he's active. That's true. But we are not afraid of him. We need to learn how to deal with that. He wants to distract us so that we see. He will prevent us from seeing and doing God's good pleasure. At the beginning of these days, we saw Genesis 3, that God put man into the garden with the desire that he ate of the tree of life. That would have been well-pleasing to him, 100% sure. Eat of the tree of life. And then the enemy, the serpent, the devil, and Satan came in and distracted man from that in order to prevent that man could do God's good pleasure. And Satan came with the words, didn't God say? He did not distract you with anything bad. He just said, didn't God say? Really? The enemy is really he's really cheating. I know the verse when I was 16 years old and decided to follow Jesus, to receive the Lord. In John 10, verse 10, this is really a crucial verse. I remember that verse from my youth. Read it. I won't quote it today. Jesus came to give us life, that we may have it, have life and have it abundantly. Life. It's not a matter of forgiving sins. It's the important thing is life. That he wanted to give God's life. And before, there is a first section of that verse. And this is also important. The thief comes. Imagine, the thief comes up. He comes. Jesus comes and the thief comes. We cannot be so blue-eyed and naive and just close our eyes. What do you do when the thief comes? You close the door, right? Or when you're on your way out, then you take heed of your pocket, of your purse. If you go sightseeing in Berlin, be careful. In the tramway, you need to be careful. Watch out. Keep your backpack in your front. If a hand goes into your pocket, then pull it out. What does a thief come for? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And this is what he's doing, that because he wants to destroy what is important to God. He corrupts and spoils what God wants, and God doesn't like it anymore. And the enemy won to serve in a priestly way. Spiritual sacrifices. Some of us may really get an uneasy feeling when they hear that. Oh, priestly service, I don't want to have anything to do with that. It's too difficult for me. No. It's important to have the more fellowship about priestly service. Get into the river of water of life. That the life makes us clear, that makes us clear and bright as crystal. What is it all about in this service? Not the enemy should triumph, right? And sometimes we think when something is scriptural, God, this will be well-pleasing to God. Now I need to be careful with what I say, right? Olaf doesn't say that you don't need to be not scriptural. I don't say either one nor the other. But if we just go by the letter and think that we do something that's written in the Bible, so it needs to be well-pleasing to God, ask God. I'll read a verse to you in Hebrews 10, 10 verse 8 and 9. Hebrews 10, 8 and 9. I will read it to you. In Hebrews, it's spoken a lot about the priestly service. I'll start in the middle of it, saying above, Hebrews 10, verse 8, saying above, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you did not desire nor take pleasure in, which are offered according to the law. You see here, what does he say here? There is the law, there is the letter, there are the commandments, there are the ordinances. And you fulfill all that, and then it's still said, God did not take pleasure in it. But then he said, behold, I come to do your will. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. That is God. He takes away the first, the letter, in order to establish the second. Who came? That was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is not a letter. He is the life. He says, I am the life, and this life leads to the Father. So now we are talking about life. So when we want to serve in a well-pleasing way, we need to know life. Life is not something that some people may think that I became a Christian, now I need to lead a good life. I was a miserable person first, and now I became a Christian, now I need to lead a better life. This is not what I mean with good life. But this life is a different life. This is the divine life. God wants to give us the divine life. Outwardly, we may not look better or be better off, but through the faith in Jesus Christ, we got divine life. And this life we all need to know, small and great. The young ones, you need to start to know Jesus as life. And you do that by speaking with him, by giving your hearts to him and saying, Lord Jesus, I just don't want to be just a religious person who fulfills all letters and fulfills everything. I want to know you as life. And the older people, the same thing. Don't stop. And those in between also, of course. Yeah, the old ones should not just rely on their experience, you know, at that time. And what about today? The Lord is life today. And it's a river. The Lord is a river that's flowing new and is fresh every time. And this tree brings fruit every month. It's always fresh. We need to be such people who say, Lord, I want to know you as this life. This priestly service has an order. I have already reached point B. It's important. This priestly service has an order. It's written here, a service according to the order of Melchizedek. Each priestly service has an order, a way, a rule. So most people, if we speak about the priestly service, they think about the order of Aaron, mostly, right? When we think about priests, we think about Aaron, the Aaronitic Aaron's priestly service. Yes. Why do we think about it? Why do we bear this in mind? Because it's a lot is written about Aaron. Like the book of Leviticus, Aaron is described and his service at length, in detail. Everything was turning around Aaron's service. And in that service, it was mainly focused on the sins. Each year they had to do the cleansing, the purification. And we Christians are really often centered on sins. But it's much more than just forgiveness of sins. Here at the end in Revelation, there is not the problem of sins anymore. And they are still serving. No problem of sins, and they are still serving. So it shows that this is not just a matter of forgiveness of sins. It's a matter of God's life that has an expression until forever and evermore. So there is Aaron's service. And this service of Aaron is not the rule that we are based on. Although we want to interpret it, we want to use it as types, but it's not his service. But what is the order that we are talking about in our service? It's Melchizedek, according to the order of Melchizedek. We've taken verses here in Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, the verses that I wrote down here. Let's read verse 15 through 19. I'll read it out to you so that there will be no problem with the acoustics. And it is still more abundantly evident, since a different priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek before the old priestly service was talked about. Now there is another one, according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has been constituted not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an indestructible life. For it is testified, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. This refers to Jesus Christ. He is the first one, the high priest. And he is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And we are also being brought into that service according to the order of Melchizedek. Has someone read this story? Read. Go ahead and read in the Old Testament. Just go ahead. If you don't understand, you just leave over, but just read it, because we see here how God is. We know, get to know God. And in Genesis 14, Melchizedek is referred to, is mentioned. And Melchizedek is an astonishing person because nothing much is spoken about him. If you want to find an outward rule, you don't find so much. The order of Melchizedek, how is it? What do I have to do? First, second, third. It will be really hard to find anything. It's not so easy. Aaron, it's much easier to find something. There is everything listed up for every situation, for every need, everything written. But here, this service, according to the order of Melchizedek, he just is mentioned in Genesis 14. They were fighting. There was a battle. Someone came who conquered three kingdoms. He came to Sodom and Gomorrah, and there was Abraham's nephew Lot there, and they battled against him. Many kings got conquered that city and enslaved Lot, and Abraham releases Lot and all the others who got enslaved. And he came back from that victory. And so the background is a battle and a victory. And he comes back, Abraham comes back from that battle, and a person comes to meet him. And this was the king, Melchizedek, king of Salem. And in Hebrew 7, it has no genealogy without beginning nor end. It's a mysterious person. And it says that he was a priest of God, the Most High One, a king and a priest. He's appearing there. And you know how he's meeting Abraham? What does he have with him? He brings bread and wine. What do you do with that? Eating. If someone brings bread and wine to you, what do you do with it? What will you do with it? Eating. It's an exhortation. It's a request, right? This is Melchizedek's service. He comes to meet you with eating and drinking. And at the end of Revelation, what do you see? Eating and drinking. This has got to do with a service. And then he even blesses Abraham. This priestly service brings in blessing. No commandments, no requirements, no rules, blessing. And with what does Abraham do with his blessing? He gives him back the tithe. Nothing much else is related. What he got from the enemy, he as a prey, he brought it back to God. And then there is just a second time, as far as I know, that Melchizedek is mentioned. That is in the Psalms, Psalm 110. You can read it. It's a well-known psalm of David, Psalm 110. This is quoted also later on. The Lord said to my Lord. And here, it's a matter of rule, of reigning, and a matter of, it's talked about, judgment. Here in the middle, one sentence. The Lord, in verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Just like that, it's mentioned. And then in Hebrews, it is written that it's a priest according to the power of the indestructible life. When the Lord resurrected from among the dead, he showed that his life is indestructible and he serves us with his life. And our task now is to get to know this life. So we serve in this power of life. But unfortunately, we as Christians are so much aware of our weakness. Of course, it says we are boasting in our weakness, but our testimony is not our weakness. What is our testimony? The power that it gets visible in this quote here that Paul is quoting. He boasts in his weakness so that the power of God will be made visible. It's only visible in weakness, not in our power. When we boast in our weakness, then also show the power of life should be shown. Of course, we can complain. It's okay. But when it's a matter of our service, then we don't need capabilities and power, and no matter how we are, but we must find access to this power of life and must taste it. To touch this power of life. We have to learn to come forward in faith to the throne of grace all the time and to receive the blessing. And we should not cast away our boldness. And we have boldness. Jesus gave us this boldness. We should not cast it away. Take it. Apply it. What does boldness mean? It means, Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you right now. Through you, I'm coming forward to the Father. I come into the fellowship with the brothers and sisters. Sometimes our conscience is condemning us, right? And what's the solution for that? If your conscience comes and tells you, oh, you've done something wrong. You know it happens that we make mistakes. I would say it is even necessary in order to learn and to go on. But when you've made a mistake, you turn. if you have to confess something, confess it, then take the blood, and then come back into the fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the brothers and sisters. Don't hide. It has got to do with the priestly service. And when we do that, we will realize how this life will draw us to the throne of God. It always draws us to the throne of God, into His presence. If we have life, it always brings us, ushers us into God's presence, no matter where we are, even though we are a bit further off. We can always touch life. We heard that there is this Spirit who was poured out. When I touch this Spirit, He brings me, He draws me into the presence of God. You know, this way, this street coming down. I thought that this life from the throne is flowing to me, but the street is also leading upward. And this river, when it's flowing, it doesn't draw me away from the throne, but it draws me to the throne, toward the throne of God and the Lamb. And who do I see there? I see there you and all the saints who are drawn there into the presence of God. We are all in front of the presence of the Lord. Oh, you're here also? Oh, let's enjoy the Lord's life. The meetings must be at the throne of God and the Lamb. I don't know where the others are meeting, but we are gathering around the throne of God and the Lamb. And even today we are doing that. And then here I say here that God wants to have spiritual sacrifices. He wants to obtain from us something. What does He want to obtain? Spiritual sacrifices. First Peter 2 verse 5, that's what we read before, right? Here we talk about the spiritual house. The house and the priesthood, they are identical. A house without a priesthood is not possible, and a priesthood without house not either. They belong together, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And what are they doing? They are offering up spiritual sacrifices. Offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is our service. And many things were said already in the past. It's not bad to repeat that, but it should be centered, focused on the way of life. You know, some are new to the church life, some have been around a longer time. They are still suffering a little bit. Well, however, we should talk about things that went wrong. Don't be afraid. We don't need to cover up anything. Things went wrong that we learn. We have to call it by name, then cleanse us from it, and then go on. And we leave away everything that does not correspond to the Lord. What needs to be put to the rubbish, let it put there. People are collecting things sometimes and collecting everything. This is not so good. We need to know what we're talking about, what God is important, what is important to God. And everything else that hinders us should be discarded. We have to learn that in the personal life and then also in the church life. Praise the Lord for the light. Praise the Lord for His speaking. He's always speaking in order to bring us on, to purify us and to focus us on Him. An important verse for these offerings, for these sacrifices, is also in John 4:24. I really appreciate this verse still. I'm still appreciating it. that says God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and reality or truth. So this worship and offering up sacrifices does not mean to fall down. To bring God an offering is something bring to God. We give God something. We bring something to God. But what we bring is something spiritual. It's spiritual. So we need to know the Spirit, right? How do we want to bring spiritual sacrifice if we don't know the Spirit? We need to be spiritual people. We are spiritual people. We can speak about everything tonight. But you yourself can also bring that to the Lord. Lord, am I a spiritual person? Don't think this is a strange thing. No. You're a very normal person, but you're filled with the Spirit of God. God is so normal. When the Lord Jesus was on this earth, what do you think? Do you think he was a strange person or was he a normal person? He was so normal that sinners, many people, publicans, were like to be with him and to eat with him. When if he had been strange, what would those sinners and publicans have done? They would have avoided him carefully. It does not mean that he was also a sinner or an avarice person. He was not part of them, but his dealing with them was behavior was so normal. And the Pharisees and scribes, they were a bit strange. Do you think the sinners and publicans would have liked to go to those people? But Jesus went also to them. It's so normal. I like that so much. For each situation, as a spiritual person, you are a normal person, but you're filled with the Spirit of God. And in order to bring spiritual sacrifices, you need to be spiritual people and you need to know the Spirit and you don't need to be strange and have strange concepts. Jesus in us makes us normal and makes us spiritual people. Give him room in your heart so that Jesus can grow and can be formed in you. Don't be a person that can quote so many Bible verses. Not such a person is spiritual or a spiritual person or you can expound so many verses. You give me a verse and I expound it to you. Oh, then I'm admired. Oh, how many things you can teach about the Bible. Wow, I've never heard about that. That doesn't mean anything of a spiritual person. He may know a lot. Yes, true. Maybe he's well-educated. He's learned a lot. But whether the Spirit can fill his heart or if he is reigned by the Lord and renewed by the Spirit is something completely different. And even though we have a spiritual gift, that doesn't mean I'm a spiritual person. You may have a spiritual gift, a gift given by the Spirit that is can be. The gift is spiritual, but I am not. That's the difference. So we need to take care of the Spirit. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. Lord Jesus, let your Spirit work in my heart. Renew me. Take me fully. The Spirit wants to lead us. The Spirit wants to lead us. And this is a process. It's a development. My relationship with the Lord and also with each other. We need each other in order to get to know the Spirit. We help each other. We correct each other in a positive way. Not in a criticizing way. Oh, you again. Oh, you never change. Give food, give life, serve with life. How do I get to know God? By the service of life, by by someone serving me with life. No one needs to be a strange person, needs to imitate something or feign to be something. You gain the Lord, you have fellowship with Him. Just pass that on. We will all profit from that. Whether little or much, it's always a gain for others. So we need to support each other to know the Spirit better and to be led by the Spirit. If we know the Spirit, that means we know life. Life and Spirit go always together, and Spirit and life also. And this is also the Lord's person that belongs to it also. The Spirit, life, the Lord Jesus, no matter how you call it, it's a oneness. It's a unity. If we don't know Him, then the enemy comes and wants to rob something, wants to spoil us and destroy us. So the only protection is to know life in the church life. This is important because otherwise you get strange ideas. Today you can do so many things with a word. Someone may be so smart. Don't think that the enemy is smart. Don't think that you are smarter than him. The enemy comes and wants to lead you away and may say, well, prayer reading is so boring. Discussing is much more interesting. How do you see this? How do you see that verse? Oh, this verse, you need to know that verse is also important. And then we're discussing until everybody's killed. We have to learn to eat Jesus, to eat the word, not to touch the letter, but touch the Spirit. Otherwise, we'll have only a method. If we make offering up sacrifices, make it a method to make a structure, a system out of it, what we all experience already, then life will be gone. If you make a method out of it and install a method, then the Spirit is gone. What do you need the Spirit for if the method is there? If you have a method, you don't need a Spirit because you have to be focused on something. And many things in Christian life is when methods come in and then you're killed. I don't mean good habits. This is not the same thing. But if it's not a good habit, but if it's a method, you just need to do it this way, then you don't experience the Lord anymore. No. What we need is faith. To touch the Lord in faith and not have a method. Do you know these marionette players, the marionettes? They are pulling strings. When you're pulling that string, this arm goes up, the other arm goes up. You can do a lot of things with methods, and you can bring a lot of things into movement. Everything's moving. But this is not life. This is just activity, just movement, no life. Don't be depending on any strings. Cling to the tree of life. Be depending on the tree of life. If we don't know life, we seek methods. Do you have a good method for me? Oh, I like it. And then I even cling to people. I depend on people. Don't depend on people. Life makes us depending on God. He is life. And if this is missing, then we are depending on methods and on people. And many things come in and that destroys. We'll get destroyed. In the church, we don't need methods. I tell you how to do this and that. We had fellowship in these days about something I'll tell you, and then I will finish. Well, the Lord told me I should do this and that. In other words, you don't tell me anything. The Lord told me, you shut up. So I don't tell you directly, but I say the Lord told me. And then when the fellowship we had afterwards, It's even, they said, the Lord showed me that you should do this and that. Several people testified about that, that it was usual among Christians. The Lord told me that you should not go to the conference or whatever. How about that? The only salvation from that is to know life. Otherwise, you're depending what this person tells you, and you have to do that. But the Lord speaks to you. If we have such a church life, then the priesthood is gone. Priesthood is no method. It's not just turning a wheel or switching a button, and then Sunday I need to do this, prayer meeting I should do this, then life is gone. You may do that for yourself, but don't do that in the church life. In the church life, we are focused on life. And I need to know that for this, and you need to know that. And I need you who give life to me. And we have heard that life can flow out everybody who believes, like the scripture says. We need your life. And the last points now, at the end. These spiritual sacrifices that God will obtain, this is first of all that he changes something in us. He makes us something that is well pleasing to him, personally and as the church as a whole. For me, the church life is a sacrifice that we are preparing for God. And this is not something that we do, but that Christ may be formed in us. Because only Christ is well pleasing to God, and we are all participating in that. Therefore, we are doing our priestly service together. It's not just one pastor or a preacher who's doing everything, or a brother even. We all ought to prepare this sacrifice. Christ in us. You can read these verses that I indicated here. Hebrews 10, it is said, for example, I read it out to you. Hebrews 10, verse 5. Verse 5, I personally like this verse. Wherefore, coming into the world, Jesus, he says, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. A body you have prepared for me. So the offering, the sacrifice, is a body that the Lord has prepared. And in Romans 12, it is said, you give your sacrifice, you consecrate your body as a sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, not in your old being, but the Lord seeks his body as a sacrifice to do his will. I came to do your will. And the Lord does such a work in us, such a transformation and salvation work. You know, then our speaking, our acting, our works will also express him. It's something for his praise, for his honor and glory. It's an expression of his life. And it draws others to him. That's what life that we need, full of need, full of grace. It's quite late already. Oh, Lord Jesus. May the Lord obtain such a sacrifice that is well-pleasing to him, and that is concerns our personal life, that we are built up together, knit together as his body, as his expression. And this will express his virtues that will be told out. In the church life, his virtues should be told out. For example, mercy. in Hebrews chapter 4, it said we come forward to the throne of grace. What do we receive there? Mercy, first of all. We all need mercy, right? And why do I need receive mercy? For you? For me, and I give you a clue in order to receive mercy and also to give mercy. The mercy that you receive, give it to others. Then you have the priestly service. And it's not always so easy, right? If they are all wrong and you are the only one who's right, and maybe you are really right, and you are really right, then give mercy, especially among us in the church life, but also to others outside. Without God's mercy, we would not be there. Our running and willing would be senseless. We need His mercy. We need it for each other. This has got to do with the priestly service. Also, love is being expressed. Light is being expressed. So mercy comes from God. He is a God of all mercies. This is one of His virtues. Be merciful with your parents. Be merciful with your children. Be merciful with the saints. That doesn't mean, children, that you can do everything. Mercy doesn't mean that you can do everything. But we should have the focus of leading to Christ, to pass on what we have received. When I read something about mercy, I came up to with this chapter 18, because it expresses me again and again. Matthew 18 is a passage where someone is sinning, and when he sins, you have to correct him. And when he cannot be corrected according to my concept, then I tell it the church. And if he doesn't want to hear the church, then you should treat him as a heathen and publican. And then it continues. And this is always the point that touches me, all this, to see all that context. Exactly after that, there is a parable that the Lord tells about one who has a lot of debts, and he goes to that king, and the king releases him from all his debts, is merciful with that debtor, and releases him from all his debts. And then he goes to one who owes him something, and just a little amount, and he tells this person, you have to pay me everything. No, I don't. You have to pay. This is what you owe me. You pay it back. And the other slaves see that, and it touches their heart. And they go to the king and say, you see what this slave has done? What does the king say? Come here back. And he says, you go to prison. You pay me back every single cent, because you were not able to forgive. We get forgiveness in order to forgive others. We receive mercy in order to give mercy to others. This is God, the Lord's life, that I'm not insisting on my right. This is the Lord's life. We need it. It's for each other. It's for the building up of His church, for His expression. And this gives God something back and tells God can tell to all powers and principalities, you see the church life in Bonn. There is a lot of service still necessary, but there is something shown where the Lord can say, this is the riches of my goodness, which I'm manifesting here. And all this comes out of that life that we are receiving and that we are passing on. And then, finally, we have something here for the building up of the church and for the gospel. To serve as a priest also for the gospel. I come back now to the beginning, what I said at the beginning, the gospel. We can firstly serve as deacons to meet a need. So you need salvation, therefore I preach the gospel to you. This is okay. But there is another service, like Paul mentions in Romans 15, I serve with the gospel as a priest so that God will obtain something. This is focus on God. The church life, our Christian life, should be well-pleasing to the Father. Praise the Lord for this priestly service, for the life that we have in us. It's so qualified to bring such an expression, to produce such an expression of God among us.